There are more than 250,000 Sri Lankan Tamils in Canada, making Canada home to the largest Sri Lankan Tamil diaspora in the world. On January 31st of this year, thousands of Tamils from across Toronto formed a human chain stretching along Front Street and up University Avenue to protest what they called the genocide of the Tamil people in their homeland, Sri Lanka. Today, to talk to us about the situation in Sri Lanka is Anita Satkunuraja, from the Humanitarian Appeal for the Relief of Tamils.
Anita, can you help put the conflict in Sri Lanka into perspective?
Yes, definitely. Right now, currently in Sri Lanka, there is a serious crisis in terms of the Tamil minority and the Sinhalese majority in Sri Lanka. There's been ongoing conflict for over three decades right now, and the current situation on the ground is just really devastating. The NGOs have been expelled from the area. There's no journalists to cover the situation on the ground. Over 500,000 people are displaced in a small region, and there's heavy fighting going on, aggressive push by the military, the Sri Lankan government, the Sri Lankan army, and currently there's been urge from the Tamil diaspora all around the world to do something about this and really get the attention of the international community to act on some of these atrocities that are happening right now.
Can you put into perspective a bit more about the different sides that are in conflict in Sri Lanka?
Sure. Yep, definitely. So as I mentioned before, Sri Lanka is a pearl-shaped island right below India, and in the region there is the majority is Sinhalese, that's the ethnic majority, and the minority in the country is Tamils, and they represent about 30% of the country, and the Sinhalese is about 70%. Now, since, as I mentioned, for over three decades, there's been an ongoing conflict, and both groups have clear differences in terms of their culture. The Sinhalese has a different language. They speak Sinhala, and they also their religion is Buddhism. The Tamil minority speaks Tamil, and they have a majority of Hindu, Catholic, and Muslims that fall under that ethnicity.
In terms of resolving the conflict that's going on, what do you think Canada's role should be?
Canada's role, given that Canada is the largest community of over 300,000 Tamils live here in Canada, and our hope as Tamil Canadians here is to really push the government to call for an immediate ceasefire and recognize the atrocities that are happening, literally stop the war in Sri Lanka and come to a ceasefire and start negotiating for a negotiated political solution.
The federal government has a list of organizations that it labels terrorist. One of the groups in conflict in Sri Lanka is on that list, the Tamil Liberation Tigers. Does this help or hinder the peace process in Sri Lanka?
This definitely hinders the peace process in Sri Lanka, as there was a time period where there were negotiated peace talks that were a series of talks that were facilitated by the Norwegian government, and the talks failed. And after the listing of the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, it has caused a huge huge negative presence, because they are not on the platform in terms of negotiations. And here in Canada, it has actually impacted students and Tamil community in general, because when they hear the word Tamil, they would hear associated to that would be either tiger or terrorist. And that has been an ongoing debate with us here, the community here, to educate others about the Tamil community here and being able to really educate them on what is happening on the ground. As I mentioned before, there is no journalists that are allowed on the ground to assess the situation, so the reports are heavily biased, and that really hinders the process here for Canada to be able to play a role in peace negotiations or facilitating and urging the UN even.
And in talking about the United Nations, recently they had an opportunity, I guess, to call for a ceasefire in Sri Lanka. Ban Ki-moon didn't do that. Can you tell us what happened at the United Nations?
From what I know from the reports that I've read as well, he was unable to call for a ceasefire because Sri Lanka was not part of the Human Rights Council agenda at that point, so he was unable to call for a ceasefire. But based on strictly humanitarian grounds and the current situation with civilians being impacted the most, children, with the children's different children orphanages, hospitals being bombed by the Sri Lankan army, I think it's sufficient for him to have been able to call a ceasefire, given his authority in the United Nations. It was very disappointing to hear that, but I think that continuing to urge the United Nations and other international community decision makers to be able to call for a ceasefire is what we're hoping. And it's only the United Nations that has that authority to do that.
In terms of dealing with the humanitarian situation in Sri Lanka, your organization, the Humanitarian Appeal for the Relief of Tamils, can you tell us about the work that you're doing?
Some of the work that we're doing focuses on creating a lot of awareness and education to the community here, to the mainstream community here in Canada. And what Canadian Heart has done is partner with organizations like the Canadian Peace Alliance, Toronto Coalition to Stop the War, along with the Canadian Federation of Students to really educate the community. And this is being done through peaceful rallies, peaceful vigils, as well as a Halt Genocide tour that's taking place over 10 cities where student activists have, with the support of CFS, have gone to, they started in Guelph yesterday and they're in Waterloo today, and they're hoping to hit London and Windsor this week. And they'll continue on with this tour to educate, really start from the grassroots level to educate Canadians on what exactly is happening in Sri Lanka, especially the attacks on the Tamils there, and being able to urge them to build a stronger solidarity network and build that voice for Tamils in Sri Lanka.
And in terms of pressuring the Canadian authorities to move on official levels to start being part of the peace process in Sri Lanka, has there been any progress made on that front?
Well, there has been an emergency debate in Parliament regarding the situation, and several members of politicians have step forward and claims that have heard the concerns of the Tamil community here. As we know, the diaspora has been really active in getting out and educating Canadians on what's happening, and with the massive demonstrations with the human chain in the downtown core and big events like that to really encourage the government to start reacting on the situation. There was the debate. It did have some conversation, but we're looking for Canada to really take a hardline stance and say, you know, really condemn the government, Sri Lankan government. There's also a Sri Lankan consulate office here in Canada, and our hope is that Canada will actually realize that this consulate here is and the government is committing war crimes and genocide against a ethnic minority right in their country, and we're hoping that Canada would take steps to not only foster a peace process, but also isolate Sri Lanka and remove such offices here that really don't understand or really paint the picture of the truth that's happening there.
In terms of Canadian awareness of what's going on in Sri Lanka, what have you found?
Through the teach-ins that we've been conducting here at U of T and different neighborhood organizations, we've been hearing from Canadians that they only hear one side of the situation in our Canadian media. So it's good to have as many teachings as possible to really educate them on what's happening there and the actual crisis, and, you know, being able to really understand that, you know, there's safe zones that are being being bombed, and the Sri Lankan Army is using such tools as cluster, internationally banned cluster bombs, ammunitions, etc. And just being able to have that one-to-one conversations and really just educate them and actually ask them to be on, to keep this momentum going and be that voice is what we're seeing. And they're very receptive to it, very interested in knowing and wanting to actually do something. And we've asked them to, A, urge the government and also urge the United Nations to act on the situation.
Just in January, there was a peaceful demonstration of a chain of people on Front Street and University Avenue protesting the genocide. Is there anything else of that nature planned in the near future?
One of the big things in our community is we don't these things have been planned and just come out from the community as a whole. They've just stepped up, and really there's been demonstrations at various places, the U.S. consulate, the Sri Lankan consulate, the Indian embassy. The human chain was the largest demonstration that we had, but they are protesting in front of hospitals, asking hospitals to appeal to be able to send doctors or some sort of aid into those regions. So there are several things that are happening within the community, but it's just been people going to the streets and intersections and holding placards and trying to really educate people, Canadians, fellow Canadians, to do some research and homework on the situation. So we don't have any major rallies or protests that are coming up, but again, as I mentioned, this Halt Genocide tour is taking place over across Ontario, and we hope to be able to do this nationally as well, with the support of organizations like the Canadian Peace Alliance and Canadian Federation of Students.
For folks who do want to get more informed about what's happening in Sri Lanka, is there a website that you recommend where people can go?
Yeah, I would recommend www.haltgenocide.org, which has information about the current situation and the genocide tour that's happening, the blogs of student activists who are taking part in this genocide tour. There's also another website, www.tamilidpcrisis.org, which has a lot of information about the displacement of the civilians there, and tons of great information.
Anita, I want to thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.